Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 583, Update on Islamic Fascism. This program is being recorded on January 28th of the year 2007. We're going to plunge right in and continue with the discussion of the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic fascist organization that was the parent of Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and other institutions. It was allied with the Third Reich and fascist Italy. It jumped first to British intelligence, then the CIA at the end of World War II, and it is part of the Fascist International and has been over the decades. Among the many evidentiary tributaries that run from the Muslim Brotherhood to powers of center is a very, very significant tributary that runs between the Muslim Brotherhood and the SAR network, the overlapping series of businesses and Islamic charities that was raided by the Treasury Department and the FBI on March 20th of 2002 in the D.C. Beltway area. Those raids took place on March 20th, 2002, pursuant to an investigation of Sami al-Arian, one of the top people in Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of the terrorist groups that is an offshoot of the fascist Muslim Brotherhood. And among the many very significant evidentiary tributaries that run from those raids, the Operation Green Quest raids of 2002, are tributaries running in the direction, first of all, of a company called PTEC. That was a company that developed the threat assessment software architecture for the Air Force, NORAD, and the Department of Energy, among others, and the FAA as well, and in all probability had a lot to do with some of the anomalous performances of air defense networks on September 11th. And interestingly enough, one of the directors of PTEC was Yaqub Mirza, a guy named Yaqub Mirza, who set up all of the fronts that were raided on March 20th, 2002, and yet he has never been indicted or arrested in any way. He was described as having a very good relationship with the FBI. That won't hurt a bit. And Yaqub Mirza is also a very significant business partner of the Kaiser industrial and financial interests. He is, in other words, very, very well connected. Many of the elements associated with the targets of those raids, the Operation Green Quest raids of 2002, are connected to powerful elements within the GOP. Specifically, Grover Norquist and Karl Rove set up the Islamic Institute, which is basically a Muslim Brotherhood element within the Republican Party. And on April 4th of 2002, 2 weeks after the Operation Green Quest raids alluded to in the passage we're about to read, a guy named Talat Altman, who was a director of Harkin Energy, one of George Bush's energy companies, interceded with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who was then fired about 8 months later, and Operation Green Quest has been actively subverted. I've talked about that at great length. So among the tributaries running between Operation Green Quest raids of 2002 targets are basically the company that was handling the threat assessment software architecture for the FAA, NORAD, and the Air Force on September 11th, and the Republican Party and the Bush administration, and, as we're going to see, Yaqub Mirza, business partner with the Kaiser interests, is also involved with a company that is developing the computerized integrated military systems for the future. An enterprising individual who posts anonymously on the Internet, and who, by the way, is doing a great job of developing a blog that covers the Operation Green Quest raids, the SAR network, Yaqub Mirza, Talat Altman, François Genoux, the Muslim Brotherhood, the many things that I talk about on this broadcast are finding their way into posts by this particular anonymous individual. This comes from the Democratic Underground website, and the general topic is Key Military Network Operating System Made by Company with PTEC Ties. This is from January 21st of the year 2007, and it reads in part as follows. Here's the gist of this post. The Pentagon is currently throwing billions of dollars into its Visionary Future Combat Systems Network, or FCS. This is going to the network that allows all of the military systems of the future to communicate and coordinate with each other, including remotely controlled drones that will patrol the streets of tomorrow's urban warfare nightmare environments. It appears that the company chosen to provide the embedded operating system for the vital Command, Control, Communications, Computing, Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, or C4ISR infrastructure used all across FCS platforms, had, and possibly still has, Yaqub Mirza on its board. And Yaqub Mirza just happens to be the guy that set up the Saudi Muslim Brotherhood SAR network that was raided in the Operation Green Quest raids of 2002 and sat on the board of PTEC. And as this individual editorializes, friggin' wonderful. Then he provides an overview of the future combat systems and how critical C4ISR is to the system. A lot of this may be too technical for some people. It is past a point for yours truly. But in terms of understanding what this is and the significance of Yaqub Mirza and Sterling Consultants, well, let's plunge right in. FCS overview. The Army's Future Combat Systems, or FCS network, allows the FCS family of systems to operate as a cohesive system of systems where the whole of its capabilities is greater than the sum of its parts. As the key to the Army's transformation, the network and its logistics and embedded training systems enable the future force to employ revolutionary operational and organizational concepts. The network enables soldiers to perceive, comprehend, shape, and dominate the future battlefield at unprecedented levels as defined by the FCS Operational Requirements Document, or ORD. The FCS network consists of four overarching building blocks: System of Systems Common Operating Environment, Battle Command Software, Communications and Computers, and Intelligence, Reconnaissance, and Surveillance Systems. The four building blocks synergistically interact, enabling the future force to see first, understand first, act first, and finish decisively. I would add editorially, that's assuming it works according to plan, but if they're going to have Mrs. Mirza's baby boy Yaqub involved in this mess, I wouldn't necessarily bet on things working as they are supposed to. Continuing. The FCS family of systems, or FOS, are connected to the Command, Control, Communications, Computers, Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, or C4ISR network, by a multi-layered communications and computers network with unprecedented range, capacity, and dependability. The Communications and Computers, or CC network, provides secure, reliable access to information sources over extended distances and complex terrain. The network will support advanced functionalities such as integrated network management, information assurance, and information dissemination management to ensure dissemination of critical information among sensors, processors, and warfighters both within and external to the FCS-equipped organization. There is then continued technical analysis and discussion of this integrated system's capabilities, but you've gotten an idea, and in the interest of time, I'm going to move on to the important parts. And then this poster notes, so guess who got the contract to provide the C4ISR system? Linux Works selected as embedded operating system vendor for Army's Future Combat Systems program. This is from April 11th of 2005. This is Dateline San Jose, California. Linux Works today announced that it was chosen as the embedded operating system vendor by General Dynamics Advanced Information Systems for the U.S. Army's Future Combat Systems, or FCS, program's Integrated Computer System, or ICS. Under terms of the contract, Linux Works' Linux-compatible Linux OS 178 safety-critical real-time operating system will be used to meet the performance and reliability needs of the FCS, a family of advanced networked air and ground-based military systems for use by the Army's future force. And then goes on to tell more about the system. Now, as this poster notes, now, looking at the Linux Works website, there's no reference to Yaqub Mirza, although, on a side note, former GOP Virginia Governor James Gilmore sits on its technical advisory board. But it turns out that one of the investors in Linux Works was the Herndon, Virginia-based Sterling Management Group, SMG, and the president and CEO of the SMG is Yaqub Mirza. Here's an SEC filing for 2000 for Linux Works, formerly known as Lynx Real-Time Systems, that lists Sterling Linux Group as one of the owners, and Yaqub Mirza as a director. According to this site, Yaqub Mirza might possibly still sit on Linux Works' board. And here's another company, PocketPass.com, that has both Mirza and Linux chairman Inder Singh on its board of directors. The two apparently financed the creation of PocketPass back in 1999, so the two appear to have more than just a casual business relationship. And, very important here, as mentioned above, Yaqub Mirza also just happens to be both a financier of PTEC, along with accused Al-Qaeda financier Yasin Al-Qadi, and a PTEC board member. And for those interested, here is some info on Operation GreenQuest, the SAR network, and its ties to Grover Norquist. And, of course, Grover Norquist, arguably the most important figure on the GOP right wing, along with Karl Rove, who also helped to put together the Islamic Institute. And, again, Yaqub Mirza was not only on the board of directors of PTEC, but many of the financiers of PTEC are other people connected with Islamic fascism and terrorism, including the blind Sheikh Rahman, involved with the milieu that planned the first World Trade Center attack, and also even people such as Abdullah Azzam, Osama bin Laden's original Muslim Brotherhood mentor. Returning now to this post, the poster goes on to add, to make matters worse, it appears that PTEC was involved with the military's C4ISR system. And then from the Military Information Architecture Accelerator, or MIAA, the PTEC Framework Military Information Architecture Accelerator enables military information architects and decision makers to create a comprehensive, concordant context for planning and managing change in the information-related capabilities that are critical to the success of military operations and enterprises. With domain-specific metamodels based on concepts and behavior rules adapted from the DoD C4ISR architecture framework, the CADM, and operational experience, the MIAA creates and automatically enforces a consistent taxonomy, artifacts, interrelationships, and rules throughout all the operational system and technical view products. The point being that PTEC is involved with this as well. And then the poster goes on to add, skipping down, who knows what, if any, significance this all has, but considering the PTEC investigation just kind of died along with the Operation Green Quest investigation, after being obstructed by the FBI in the first place, and now is apparently making money primarily by licensing its software to other companies, one wonders what involvement the PTEC software and or Muslim Brotherhood-related individuals might have with this grand vision of the future of warfare, or what might just go wrong in that future, kind of like things went wrong on September 11th. One individual with a military intelligence background with whom I have spoken and communicated agrees with my analysis that I suspect if you could access the innermost files of the military and the intelligence community, they themselves continue to have some very serious questions about just what went wrong on September 11th, and I suspect that if they are serious about answering those questions, and some of them are, they had damn bloody well better sit down and start taking a good look at PTEC. Oh, and Les, let me remind people that PTEC, again, basically a Muslim Brotherhood high-tech company, also handles the threat assessment software architecture for the Department of Energy, and they handle security for the nuclear power plants. To make you feel good? Well, I certainly hope so. Anyway, we're going to continue now, and we're going to take a look at one of the things that helps to block any sort of active interdiction of some of these Muslim Brotherhood elements in the United States. One of those things is the fact that there are very strong economic and political connections between the Islamo-fascist Muslim Brotherhood and elements within the Bush administration, elements within the GOP, such as Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, and also the fact that many of the organizations which tragically have been elevated to a position of prominence in speaking for the Muslim community in the United States are themselves riddled with extremists and very little more than Muslim Brotherhood fronts. In some of our conversations with John Loftus, we've spoken about the fact that one of the reasons for this is that Grover Norquist and Karl Rove have basically worked on behalf of these organizations, and Grover Norquist has been their lobbyist. Grover Norquist, by the way, now married to a Palestinian Muslim woman, and possibly a Muslim himself. That is not clear. But certainly he's married to a Palestinian Muslim woman. And he has basically lobbied on behalf of many of the most heinous Muslim Brotherhood and terrorist-related elements, Abdurrahman al-Amoudi, Khaled Safouri, and elements associated with the SAR network. One of the offshoots of this is, or one of the derivatives of this, is that moderate Muslims, those who are truly more representative of the average Muslim in the United States and perhaps the rest of the world as well, have not had a voice, and that the people who have been empowered to speak for the Muslim community in the United States are not representative at all, but are in fact extremist. And one belated recognition of this was discussed in the Los Angeles Times of Saturday, January 6th of 2007. This is an article by Ashraf Khalil of the LA Times. Boxer rescinds award to Islamic activist. The man subtitled, "The man represents a group some contend is extremist. Supporters say right-wingers are just trying to silence American Muslims." Senator Barbara Boxer has rescinded an award her office gave to a Sacramento Islamic activist after criticism that the group he represents, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, holds extremist views and has ties to international terrorist organizations. "I'm saying the four words that every elected official hates to say. I made a mistake," unquote, the California Democrat said in a telephone Friday. "I hope they won't believe that I did this to hurt the Muslim community. We just have to be more careful when we reach out," unquote. The U.S. Senator's office rescinded a certificate of achievement awarded in November to Basim El-Khara, head of the council's Sacramento office. The rare public reversal follows charges from right-wing activists that Boxer was courting Muslim extremists by associating with the group. I know nothing about the background of Ashraf Khalil, but that is an Islamic name, and to say that the only people making noise about this are right-wing activists is just not true. It is true that the right has been far more aware of and active on behalf of rooting out some of these Islamo-fascists in Muslim civil rights organizations and has been the so-called progressive sector. But the fact of the matter is people like Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, George Bush, and beyond that the petroleum industry with their profound connections to Saudi capital networks are deeply involved with these. So just as there are right-wingers or conservatives who are vocal against some of these elements, an awful lot of the right wing is also in bed with these very same elements. And so, by the way, are much of the so-called progressive network. Samuel Arian and the Muslim Brotherhood are hailed as progressive, or at least Samuel Arian is hailed as a political martyr, and the Muslim Brotherhood in certain so-called progressive circles is excused as a legitimate organization, and people who criticize it as being fascist are called neocons and otherwise smeared. It's one of the really crazy things that those right-wingers who do attack the Muslim Brotherhood and organizations like the Council on American-Islamic Relations are also supportive of George Bush, and yet Bush and his administration is connected to the same elements. By the same token, the so-called progressive sector who criticizes George Bush and the GOP is connected to the very same elements and runs interference for them. The Pacifica Network, in particular, has been extremely active on the behalf of Samuel Arian, who's a stone Nazi killer. So it is surreal. It is absolutely surreal to see what is going on here. Skipping down in this particular article, Council on American-Islamic Relations officials say they and other Muslim organizations have been targets of an ongoing and sometimes effective campaign to silence and marginalize American Muslim voices. Well, the Council on American-Islamic Relations is not representative of the average American Muslim. They have a great deal of participation by some of the most extreme elements in the American Muslim community, and indeed one of their top officials, Ibrahim Hooper, who's one of their top officials, has basically said that he thinks that the Mossad was responsible for the first World Trade Center attack, and Sirhaj Wahaj, who was a CIIR board member, was described by federal prosecutor Mary Jo White as a possible conspirator in the 93 bombing, that very same attack. So one should be very careful about organizations like CIIR and AMC, the American Muslim Council. They purport to speak for the average Muslim, but in fact they aren't. And it is one of the really crazy, skitzed-out aspects of the contemporary political landscape that we will see elements, for example, such as Front Page Magazine, which we talked about, which we accessed in the very beginning of this broadcast, railing against organizations like AMC and CIIR and their supporters, and properly so, and yet they support Bush, who's linked to the very same bloody elements. Then you get the so-called progressive sector, International Answer and Pacifica and that milieu, and they're critical of George Bush, and yet they run interference for the very same elements that are allied with Bush. Increasingly, I use the adjective surreal to describe what's going on. There's that old ancient Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. These times would be, in the words of Mr. Spock from Star Trek, fascinating. One of the things that makes this sort of confusion only too easy, one of the things that I'm coming across increasingly in my analysis, is the upshot of our dumbed-down society. This society has been so completely dumbed down. Our educational system has been gutted. The media are hopelessly corrupt and controlled, frankly. And the average American at this point is just so drugged out and TV'd or video-gamed out of their gourd that at this point, the average American, in my opinion, can't tell a dirt road from a chicken with lips. And if that sounds harsh, check this out. This from the New York Times of Wednesday, December 20th of 2006. Maureen Dowd has a column called Flunking Our Future. And check this out. If it seems strange that some of the confusion I was just talking about could take place, listen to who's running the country. Ms. Dowd writes, "The only sects that may be more savage than Shiites and Sunnis are the Democratic feminist lawmakers representing Northern and Southern California. After Nancy Pelosi and Jane Harman had their final catfight about who would lead the House Intelligence Committee, aptly enough at the Four Seasons Hair Salon in Georgetown, the new speaker passed over the knowledgeable and camera-eager Miss Harman and mystifyingly gave the consequential job to Silvestre Reyes of Texas. Mr. Reyes promptly tripped over the most critical theme in the field of intelligence. Jeff Stein, interviewing the incoming chairman for Congressional Quarterly, asked him whether Al-Qaeda was Sunni or Shiite. Quote, predominantly, probably Shiite, unquote, the lawmaker guessed. Parenthetically, I would add, BS, it is not predominantly Shiite. And continuing, as Mr. Stein corrected him in the article, quote, Al-Qaeda is profoundly Sunni. If a Shiite showed up at an Al-Qaeda clubhouse, they'd slice off his head and use it for a soccer ball, unquote. Mr. Stein followed up with a Hezbollah question. What are they? Again, Mr. Reyes was stumped. Hezbollah, he stammered. Hezbollah? Why do you ask me these questions at 5 o'clock? Can I answer in Spanish? Okay, KS Hezbollah, Ms. Dowd answers. Sounding as naked of essentials as Britney Spears, the new intelligence oversight chief pleaded that it was hard to keep all the categories straight. Thank heavens Mr. Stein never got to Syrian Alawites. Well, this is not to single out the unfortunate Mr. Reyes for a special scorn here, but rather I think that is only too representative of what's going on. This is the guy who's going to be overseeing the Intelligence Committee? Whew! That is really scary. Another article I'm not going to have time to go into here, but that concerns the fact that the FBI, now 5 years after September 11th, has something like 33 Arabic speakers working for it, and that will not do. That will not do at all. So I'm afraid we are headed for some very unfortunate things in the future. Now, Hezbollah is a Shiite Islamic fascist organization, and for the record, program 564 and others, I posted some links to photos of Hezbollah rallies, and like other Islamic fascist organizations, they use the Nazi salute. By the way, the Nazi salute, the fascist salute, is derived from a Roman salute. There are a number of salutes used by various countries that are similar in some ways. There is no antecedent for that in the Islamic or Muslim world. Those are Nazi salutes because they're Nazi organizations. And one of the international links of Hezbollah is to fascist elements in Latin America. L.A. Times of Thursday, October 26th of 2006 by Patrick McDonald, Dateline Buenos Aires, Argentina alleges Iran ordered attack. Argentine prosecutors accused Tehran on Wednesday of masterminding the deadly bombing of a Jewish cultural center here 12 years ago and were seeking the arrest of former Iranian President Hashemi Rafsanjani and other former officials of the Islamic Republic. Argentine authorities have long contended that Iran was involved in the attack, which killed 85 and injured more than 200, but this was the strongest allegation to date linking Iran to the bombing. The decision to strike the Jewish facility was made, quote, by the highest authorities of the then government of Iran, federal prosecutor Alberto Nisman said at a news conference here. Well, we've talked about the AMIA bombing of 1994, and one of the points that I've made in connection not only with September 11th, but other terrorist incidents, is that there are one of the most important and one of the most sadly neglected aspects of them. There are profound connections between supposedly unconnected events. The first World Trade Center attack, the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, the AMIA bombing, and September 11th. And these links involve the coordinated efforts to a certain extent of Islamic fascists and neo-Nazi and white supremacist elements around the world. Again, For the Record program 456 goes into those at great length and detail. One of the links that we talked about in connection with the AMIA bombing is not only the fact that, according to an Argentine police informant, one of the people who helped to train the people for the AMIA attack was a former Green Beret, American Green Beret, who worked with the Aryan Nations, who also provided logistical support to Mohammed Atta and company on September 11th. And as revealed in the Argentine press, the Argentine police operatives who were implicated in the blast and eventually were acquitted were, according to an FBI investigation, members of White Aryan Resistance. That is an American white supremacist organization headed up by Tom Metzger, to which Timothy McVeigh allegedly belonged. And these were the Argentine police officials involved, apparently at the operational level, in the AMIA bombing. The point being, again, that in examining Islamic fascism, its relationship with the fascist international is pivotal. And speaking of that, and something we're going to be coming back to in weeks to come, speaking of links between Islamic fascists and others, the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, December 14th of 2006 carried an article from the New York Times, authored by Michael Slackman, Dateline Cairo, headlined, Iran Leader Uses Conference on Holocaust to Push Agenda. We're going to deal with this conference at greater length in the future. Iran's so-called Holocaust conference this week was billed as a chance to force the West to reconsider the historical record and thereby the legitimacy of Israel. But why would the Iranians invite speakers with so little credibility in the West, including a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard, parenthetically David Duke, and disgraced European scholars? By the way, one of those is Robert Faurisson, a French Holocaust denier who has been a political ally of none other than Noam Chomsky in the past. Chomsky's equivocated about that, as he does about so many things, but is a very, very interesting thing, a very interesting association indeed. Skipping down in this article, speaking of the Holocaust conference, the two-day meeting included no attempt to come to terms with the nature of the well-documented Nazi slaughter, offering only a platform to those pursuing a fantasy that it never happened. In addition, the organizers of the conference, a small circle around the president, Mr. Ahmadinejad, have been building ties with neo-Nazi groups in Europe. So what we have, basically, we have the Iranian president who subscribes to an Islamic Shiite end times philosophy about the 12th Imam or the hidden Imam, networking with David Duke and European Nazis vis-a-vis a Holocaust denial conference while pursuing nuclear weapons. This is something to take note of, and it is very scary indeed. One of the points that I would make as we close here is that in addition to its Sunni links, the Bank al-Taqwa, and specifically people like Ahmed Huber, also had links with the Iranian fundamentalists. Ahmed Huber coordinated Islamic fascists with their European and American neo-Nazi and white supremacist counterparts. Ahmed Huber, very close to the late Ayatollah Khomeini, and the late Ayatollah Khomeini's exile in France was financed by François Genoux, one of the most important Nazi operatives before, during, and after World War II, and the heir to the collected literary works and political last will and testimonies of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. This concludes For the Record program number 583, Side 2, Update on Islamic Fascism. This has been recorded on January 28th of 2007. My name's Dave Emery. Please use the websites, and thanks for listening.